Today's reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verse 14a, and then verses 22 to 32. And you can find it in the Church Bibles on page 1093. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ. If he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we just pray? Lord, we ask you to make these words speak to our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. So, good morning. I'm Rob Dean, one of the preaching team here at Elmdon. Now, if you're an avid reader of your Bible, you may have noticed that this event of Peter's first major sermon comes at Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit descends on thousands of believers. Peter speaks immediately after this tumultuous event, and the disciples and the crowd are reeling, laughing, celebrating, and wondering what all this means. Much like last Sunday, we were joyous again, celebrating the amazing events of Easter, but also in the back of our minds, back to the reality of the world and what comes next. What does it all really mean? So actually, we're in the position of this large crowd. What happens next? Yes, it's wonderful, but Jesus is dead and gone from the earth. How does this Holy Spirit help us, change us, and take us to the next step in our Christian lives? I was trying to think of an illustration of what those events must have felt like for those first followers of Jesus, the disciples included. So, have you ever been on a very fast, twisty roller coaster ride? Maybe something like the big one at Blackpool? Or one of those ones in Florida. We've been on the ones in Florida. So, you know, it's spectacular. Or have you been on one of those really twisty small ones, the mouse, the ones that twist in and out? Because when you got off, how were you feeling? Were you a little woozy, unbalanced, like after a good night out? And this is the crowd in front of Peter. In fact, onlookers thought that they were drunk. And it's not included in our reading today. That's for another time. So if you are feeling unbalanced, a bit confused, and unable to sort out the facts, that's how they felt. And Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, wanted to put them straight and back on track. Yes, the events were momentous and needed sorting out. Has death won or has God? There are three things that I would like to discuss this morning and much more, but we'll stick to three for the moment. Forgiven, death, and resurrection. So we have heard, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, the crowd were happy, confused, and looking for guidance. And in verse 14, it says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." Same for you. Listen carefully. Peter is drawing our attention. He speaks powerfully but quietly of the man that he knew for 3 years but did not understand properly until about 50 days before this event. It starts with his denial of knowing Jesus but ends with Jesus' forgiveness on the beach in Galilee. We have three denials by Peter, but also three responses of love and forgiveness from Jesus. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Matthew 16, verse 15. Look it up later. It takes some reading. When have we denied Jesus? Do you know that man? Maybe not in the pressure situation leading to Jesus' death, but in less pressurized situations, and we find it hard to speak of our love for him. We deny him every day in different ways. When we lie, when we swear, or beat our way around talking about our faith. Regardless of what we say or do, we can be forgiven. Jesus provided the answer to all of our errors, lies, and deceit through the cross. One thing we should know, though, that this forgiveness takes a step, a thought, and action by us. The big barrier, the wall, is telling the truth to God through Jesus. Repentance is a big word. It means telling the whole truth to God about who we are and what we have done, and will continue to do, because we are not strong enough to succeed on our own. The Holy Spirit will be provided to those who truly repent. When we swear in court, we say that we will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Many people nowadays affirm. Why? Because they are afraid of the consequences of the whole truth. This means everything from little to large. Truth is a sword cutting through everything. Peter urges us to be straight with the Lord, to put all our cards on the table. Death cannot conquer truth because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. All who repent will be saved from death. So next we come to the word death. For many, the death of Jesus seemed the end. Maybe he was a fraud, a trickster, a magician, just another prophet. But obviously not God's son, because he would have saved himself from that awful death. He would have come down from the cross and showed to all who he actually was. But we should understand, though, that all the miracles and speaking had not convinced everyone there were always doubters. In fact, people that condemned him had all the facts but sentenced him to death, an innocent man. David said about him in verse 25, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. In verse 26, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. David knew that he would die and eventually be reunited with his Lord. He believed that he would be at the last day when the expected Messiah returned. He had been promised by God that his family would produce the Messiah, but he understood that this person, Jesus, would be different from him in that he would be God's pure servant, untainted by sin, the Messiah. God's appointed one. Verse 31. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. So we see that David knew that death would not be the end for him or the coming Messiah. And so that would mean that people who believed and confessed and repented to God would not be condemned to eternal death. And as we heard in our reading, verse 32, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Verse 33, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. So Jesus' death was always planned, always necessary, and plainly seen in Scripture. God was all in control and always has been, even from creation. Our Connect group has recently studied an overview of the Old Testament. Connect group is a Bible study group, but some of us are online, that's all. So we've been doing an overview of the Old Testament recently, and we have seen God's planning and fulfillment through and in Jesus Christ. We often concentrate on small parts of Scripture, but a broad overview is also helpful. And the next sermon series will open our eyes further. So finally, we come to resurrection, the culmination of Christ's ministry on earth. Not a failure, as many believed at the time, and some still do. They await a Messiah of some sort, usually of the earthly variety. Money, power, greed, science. They fail to see that God's plan has and had always been for Christ to rise on the third day. It was necessary for him to be seen to take punishment on the cross, not for his failures or sin, but for ours. We are guilty of nailing him to that cross. We can never be good enough on our own. Peter was not good enough, none of the disciples. Only through Jesus' sacrifice, death, and resurrection are we able to conquer sin, because he did it for us. Have you looked closely at the gospel stories of his death and resurrection? Every detail is there. Speech, actions of the executioners, the onlookers, the weather, and the timings. Every minute detail. You might ask why. Because God was being totally transparent. No fact was hidden, but our eyes and ears open. Jesus died because of us and for us. But was death the end? No, not even resurrection is the end. It is the start of a journey for us and for the disciples and all who have believed. Think back to the tomb again, and we see in verse 31, seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection and the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body decay. Jesus' body, when he rose, still bore the marks of his death. He asked Mary not to touch him because he had not yet returned to his Father. It is important that we see that he was raised and his body had not decayed. He had dealt with death forever, but he had not changed what God had made. God, in fact, but Jesus was God. Yes, he suffered. He was gravely hurt until death, but he had not been changed by this death. God would change him when he finally ascended to heaven. He was raised on the third day and he stayed as he was so that he could witness to everyone he met. Are we changed by our meeting with the resurrected Jesus? In verse 32, it says, God has raised his Jesus to life and we are all witnesses of it. What does this mean for us who sit in this church Sunday after Sunday? Does it mean that we are forgiven? Yes, but only if we tell God the whole truth about our lives and who we are, leaving nothing out. Confession and repentance are intertwined. We need both to receive forgiveness, a frank, meaningful conversation with God, our Father. When we talk, God listens and answers. Keep your ears and eyes open. David said, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Death then cannot separate us from God. Jesus, when he died on the cross, did not want to be separated from God, but he knew that God's promise would be kept and he submitted to his will. Are we willing to accept God's promise of new life and resurrection? Because it starts right away. As soon as we confess and repent, God accepts us into his family and will send his Holy Spirit to help us. In Joel 2, verses 28 to 29, it says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. In fact, in my Bible reading this morning from John, Jesus told his disciples before he was crucified to love each other and love everyone like they loved him. And it still happens today. Just ask and you will receive it, it says in Scripture. But have we asked? Have you asked? Finally, resurrection is here for all to see, the disciples, others, and thousands of witnesses. The promise is that all believers will be resurrected on the last day, and from Acts 2, verse 38, it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So what are you waiting for? Repent and be baptized, it says. If God is calling you, ask someone. Any of the leadership team can answer your questions. But if you are ready in your heart, pray to God and repent, and then tell someone. And we will discuss your next step on the discipleship path. Let us pray. Lord, we know you are here with us today through your Holy Spirit. Rest on us, within us, and assure us of your everlasting love. Help us to change, to speak the whole truth to you and others. Bring us closer to you and bless us with your presence living within us. We ask these things in Jesus' name, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Amen.